Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. It's good to be with you again. And we're a little short today. Michael couldn't be with us because his wife is in the hospital. They're expecting their second set of twins, and they also have two others. So God bless them, and please be praying for them. But Mary and Bob Griswold took a break from moving to come and spend some downtime with us. And Hal and Rainer James are here. And we're going to talk about some state issues that are going on. Oh, and Diane Ruffino's with us.
I'd like to add that I'm a little short every day.
Yeah, that's right. Diane is a little short every day. But we appreciate her so much, the sacrifice she makes to be with us. She usually comes here from Pitt County, but she came again today. She did this a couple of shows back also, drove all the way up from Wilmington just to do the show. So thank you, Diane, for being a loyal contributor to our program. Want to start off today talking about, and I'm sure I know everybody here in the studio is familiar with Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. Well, Rules for Radicals is influencing politics in North Carolina. Here's a quote from Saul Alinsky. If your organization is small in numbers, conceal the members, but raise a din and clamor that will make the people believe that your organization numbers many more than it does. Y'all remember the Moral Monday crowd?
Oh, yeah.
They were up in Raleigh. The mainstream media loved to be there taping that and put it out and making it look like it was a huge crowd that was there. And most of the crowd, a lot of them, from what I understand, weren't even from here. They were bussed in to participate. So your Moral Monday crowd is going right along with that quote from Saul Alinsky. And although he died in 1972, Alinsky's tactics detailed in his 1971 book, which is Rules for Radicals, live on in America, but may be nowhere more evident than right here in North Carolina. Compared to only a handful of conservative groups in the state, the radical left has 140 identified by Civitas Institute. They have 140 left-leaning radical groups here in the state of North Carolina. They are represented by 1,800 activists. Yet in a population of just over 10 million, their numbers are few. By applying Alinsky's rules, however, they are with certain issues deviously effective. Take election fraud, for example. The chaos, confusion, and subversive activities of just two North Carolina radicals, William Barber, NAACP, and Bob Hall, have contributed to major disinformation about elections, voter fraud in this state. And a battle with these people has been going on for the last 5 years, spearheaded by Civitas. Barber is the chief rabble-rouser for the NAACP, and operating under the fake morality of Reverend. Hall is a liberal lobbyist with a group called Democracy North Carolina. According to Civitas President Francis DeLuca, and he's scheduled to for our, is it October meeting, I believe?
I think so.
That's right.
Yeah.
He'll be here to speak at our public meeting in October. According to him, Hall has spent many years shaping our election legislation, policies, and state bureaucracy into the nation's most liberal and confusing collection of election laws and decisions. State legislators, court judges, and interest groups have been squabbling over who should draw the district election maps and the need for voter ID for many years. The evidence is clear. Requiring identification in elections used in many states does help prevent voter fraud. The evidence is overwhelming.
Right. Yes.
But for some reason, these liberal judges in these courts can't see the forest for the trees. Well, after much difficulty, Civitas finally acquired more than 5,000 of Hall's emails and discovered that he is much more involved in election law than anyone else in the state. And there is a direct link between Barber of the NAACP and Democracy North Carolina using their connections to influence law and policy behind the scenes. Well, we all knew that was going on.
Sure.
But through Freedom of Information Act and all, Civitas has acquired more information. And according to Civitas' Susan Myrick, Bob Hall, a liberal attack dog in Watchdog's clothing, that's an article she wrote last year, the mainstream media usually describes Hall and his group either as watchdogs or nonpartisans, but the descriptions are ludicrous. Knowing Hall's history as a powerful elections lobbyist with extraordinarily close ties to North Carolina's progressive elite and Democrats in the legislature, and especially with his more than 20 years working with and at times directing the State Board of Elections. Now, this is a lead in to some further things we'll talk about a little bit after this break. So we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and dive right into this topic.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
We have alignment. Others, attention. Paddle up.
Saturday, August 12th, Oriental Dragon Boat Race and Festival returns for the 8th consecutive year to magnificent River Dunes in Pamlico County. Dragon Boat Racing is the world's fastest growing water sport. Crews consist of 20 paddlers and one drummer. We have space for new teams and individual paddlers. Please check out our website, OrientalDragonBoat.com. Team categories include military, cancer survivors, seniors, youth, club, church, nonprofit teams, corporate and community teams. Come out and cheer. Come out and participate. Saturday, August 12th for the annual Oriental Dragon Boat Race and Festival, OrientalDragonBoat.com.
Are you fired up?
Need floor covering but don't know where to turn? McDowell Floor Coverings in Havelock has everything you need. Friendly people to help with options so you get the look you want at a price you can afford. A large inventory, quick delivery on special orders, quality products, and 80 years of combined installation experience. All at McDowell Floor Coverings, 273 Highway 70 West, Havelock. Two things to ask about: the spring into summer sale and how you might win a $500 gift card. McDowell Floor Coverings, Highway 70 West, Havelock.
For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Imagine your country decides to revolutionize itself and is greeted with worldwide praise and adulation for its new leader. What would you do when, under a generation later, infrastructure is crumbling and they are now on the verge of confiscating your family's farmlands that have fed the country for hundreds of years? This isn't some dystopian prediction. This is reality for Simon Roche. Come hear him speak Tuesday, August 15th at 7 p.m. in downtown New Bern at the Stanley Hall Ballroom, sponsored by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. More information online.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, if you were listening when the show started, we're talking about some of the liberal agendas in tampering with our election laws and following Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals and using the methods they do to make it look like they're the activist groups that are pushing these agendas are actually larger than they really are.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
I'm amazed that there are only a few thousand, you know, less than 2,000 from what you said. We've got a contact list for CCTA that runs about 1,200.
Yeah. Well, that, and we're just one group.
Right.
But we don't get the media coverage that these groups get. We don't get all the other press. And we don't have outside money pumped in here by the millions of dollars to publicize, to set up fancy websites and do, you know, they really are organized. You have to give them credit for that.
Oh,
they're
absolutely
organized.
They are.
But with George Soros and other globalists backing them with the money they're backing them with, they're able to do that. They're able to hire people from other states to come in here and demonstrate.
Rick, they do that, but it is, you have to take dictation if you take the money. You don't get to decide what you think about something and work for what you believe in. The other side, our side, the conservative side, everybody has an opinion, and we have to sort of sort it out among us, and we only do those things that we, the bulk of us, agree to. So we are organized in a different way.
That's right.
And we don't just bring bodies to the table. We bring minds and ideas.
Right.
It's a whole different type of organization, and I'd take ours any day.
And it's obvious to people if they go out and attend some of these rallies, some of these meetings of local boards, boards of education, and, well, here's an example recently. Town Hall, Michael Speciale, state representative, held three town halls back to back. The same group of people holding blue cards showed up.
Wearing blue clothing.
Right. To demonstrate. And they all had questions already on the same page. They had a paper printed out with their questions on it. They asked the same questions at each of those meetings and got the same answers. Conservatives, when they stand up to ask a question, it's without a printed copy of a pre-prepared statement. They're asking from their heart, based on knowledge and facts that they believe to be true and that they've accumulated by studying.
I don't know how it works down here, but one of the things that we saw when we lived in Massachusetts were there were a lot of union workers who, as part of their obligation to their union, were paid to come out and protest and to be at certain political events. And if they weren't there, they were penalized in terms of the order in which the jobs were given out.
Right.
Mary, Hal and I went to one rally in Raleigh a few years back that members of the Service Employees International Union were there. They were bussed in. So it doesn't happen here in the same way because we're a right-to-work state, but they bring them from afar.
Well, you can see the ads on Craigslist, or where we were, you could see them in the Providence Journal. And I don't know what the going rate is now, but back then protesters were being paid $15 an hour, which is not a bad rate.
Well, it's an interesting thing to me that at the particularly here in Craven County at the town hall that Michael Representative Speciale had here, I recognized a lot of the people that were there to oppose Michael. They were the same group of people that organized the elections. You know, they go in and hand out palm cards, and they shift people in and out. They come in their cars to shift people in and out.
The same
like
people
that
you saw with their signs of opposition at the Tea Party rallies.
Exactly. So, you know, I've been to around a lot of precincts during their voting time around throughout the whole county. At one time, that was a job I had with the party, was to go around and keep everybody working. And what happened, I got to where I knew a lot of these folks by name. We were usually friendly with each other and that kind of sort of thing, but we were on opposite sides of the political spectrum, but it's the same people over and over.
Right, it is. And, you know, like I say, they're organized. There's a higher authority
somewhere
driving their agenda and providing them with their question list and their voting list. They also provide, you'll notice people that go to the polls, well, both sides have, you know, their voting list.
Sure.
But it's very obvious that this side is well organized in handing out a list of voters of the people that meet their criteria for their agenda.
And sometimes those palm cards aren't entirely accurate.
No, they aren't, because, yes, Hal's alluding to my run for school board when one of my opponents, who was running as a Republican, showed up on the Democratic voting list as a black Democrat, and he was neither black nor Democrat. But anyway, he got some votes for it.
Well, the common theme is that the opposition is organized. And sometimes it appears that there's a driving force, and they are doing it very well thought out. Someone is doing the higher thinking. An example is one of our good friends, and I won't say her name on air, but she was an elector. So in the presidential election, she was an elector, and she had to cast her vote around Christmas time for Trump, since he won the electoral majority. Well, during the time at the end of the election, November, until the time she had to cast her vote, she would receive letters every day, mostly from New York, well-typed out letters, very well thought out. Mostly, about 90% came from New York. 60 to 100 letters every single day, urging her to do the right thing and not vote for Donald Trump.
My goodness.
Switch. So, like, this is North Carolina. She's in North Carolina. Someone, I'm telling you, the opposition is organized, but there is someone doing their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not just, you know, the ones carrying out the orders, but someone's doing the thinking for them and telling them what to do.
All right. Well, the reason I started off with that one is to lead into this one.
Okay. So what are you doing that's sneaky on us?
All right. Well, this, you know, we were talking about how they were trying to affect
switch.
How this Hall fellow was involved with the State Board of Elections.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is also an article from Civitas Institute. Now, it's dated. It's going to be last Monday. The 31st of July was the important date for the public hearing on this. Mm-hmm. So, and I haven't gotten a report back yet. I wasn't able to attend it, but I don't know yet exactly what took place at that public hearing. But what I want to get across to is the subject matter, and that's North Carolina Elections Board staff discourages citizens from filing election protest.
Right.
Okay.
This is outrageous.
I heard about this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The State Board of Elections will hold a public hearing on July 31st. That's already passed. To take public comment regarding proposed rules changes and in accepting public comment online and by email through Monday, July 31st. The State Board of Elections has proposed a bundle of administrative rules, and many have problems. At least three of the new rules involve election protests and the citizens who file the protest.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, in North Carolina, no one is monitoring our elections.
Citizens.
Right. Not the State Board of Elections, not the police, not election investigators. It's up to the citizenry to detect and report election-related problems and even voter fraud. In fact, North Carolina General Statute 163 The election law spells out how citizens go about safeguarding the election process. The law provides election protests and challenges as tools for North Carolina citizens to use if they see potential problems. The new rule, which rewrites the election protest form, according to the State Board of Elections, the new form would clarify the standard of review, require a certification that the facts alleged are true and accurate, and require attorneys to indicate that they represent the protester, among other things. What the new form actually does is to limit election protests to those where the number of votes in question would be sufficient in number to change the outcome of the election. The new rules also add to the responsibilities of the protester to such an extent as to discourage election protests altogether. Worse still, the new rules essentially set the stage to criminalize citizens who lodge election protests.
Well, the lawyers must have had a real good lobbyist in there.
Well, you notice this comes out under our current governor, Roy Cooper. You have to wonder...
This is one of those up is down and down is up moments.
Right. Absolutely.
Where you're going to prosecute the person observing the wrong rather than the person doing the wrong.
Right.
Well, I think it's a prime example of what we led in with. These organizations, the activists that are pushing this type of thing. Mm-hmm. They're responsible for these rule changes.
I was observing at curbside one time, and a guy rode up on a bicycle, and he said, does anybody know which one of the vans I came in? And I'm like, oh, we don't know what van you came in. He said, well, I left something personal in there, and I need to get it back. And I said, well, where did you get on the van? Oh, out there in the, someplace new in the project. And he said, They just drove through and asked a bunch of us to get in and come on down, and we went through curbside. That curbside is supposed to be for people who are disabled and having difficulty voting, and they just brought a van load in there.
All right.
And I reported that, even took a picture of it, and the only thing said at Board of Elections, nothing we can do about things like that.
Civitas did receive from the State Board of Election the public comments submitted thus far. And to no one's surprise, they are apparently made up mostly of forms provided by Democracy NC, the leftist community organizing group headed by the lobbyist Bob Hall. So they are effective in what they're doing. This is a perfect example of how they're being effective. The public comments, the forms they're talking about that they were able to review, the State Board of Elections, these organized liberals go and fill out the forms, and overwhelmingly, that's what people see. We've got to start doing a better job of participating in the process. Right. We've got to start showing that we outnumber them in the process, and we're not doing a very good job of that in most cases, because they do get the media coverage, and that's a disadvantage for us, but you know, if we showed up in mass, they couldn't avoid having some coverage of it.
Well, you know, talking about showing up in mass, you realize that hearing was held in a very small room so that very few people who actually went could get in there. And that was done with malice of forethought.
Right, but what happens if you do, like I say, show up in mass? Remember a particular Craven County incident where we went and it happened to... catch the attention of the hunters in Craven County because it had to do with dogs. The leashing of the dogs, and they didn't want that to affect their hunting dogs. There were so many that showed up for that meeting, they had to shut it down and move it to a larger venue to accommodate the people.
They all wore orange caps. It was really, really colorful.
We're not doing an effective job, and when I say we, I'm talking about conservatives as a whole. CCTA certainly is doing their part, and will continue to do our part. We're just trying to encourage you, the listeners, how important it is to get involved, because a small group, well-organized group, well-funded group of liberal activists here in North Carolina are driving a lot of the legislative policy that's going on in Raleigh because of the things they do. You can go on YouTube and see some of the videos of when they were up there protesting. The legislature was in session, and they're outside banging on the windows, banging on the doors, disrupting everything, all for attention, all to get media attention, and to make it look like they are a huge group and a huge effort. And they don't mind getting arrested. They've probably got more on their arrest record than the average people out there.
There's got to be a better way to handle that.
Another thing the Board of Elections did, the State Board of Elections, that I thought was very questionable, was they had a lot of applications that had been filled out at DMV. And a lot of them were incomplete. And so they had set them aside and said they needed to, they weren't going to approve them because they were incomplete. But as the election got real tight and they got thinking that most of these people might vote the way they want them to, they sent them down to the local boards and told them to go ahead and accept them.
All right. Well, we're going to have to take a break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to let Rayner, who is chair of our State Legislative Action Committee, bring us a couple of other local state issues.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home-long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. Amazing Blaze in Bridgeton is the place for all your propane or natural gas needs. Amazing Blaze sells gas grills, tankless hot water heaters, why heat water you're not using, gas appliances, and of course they sell propane gas. Amazing Blaze can handle your propane to natural gas conversions and appliance installations. And if you need your gas equipment serviced or gas logs cleaned and serviced, that's right up the alley of their experienced and capable service technicians. Family owned Amazing Blaze, 811 Highway 17 in Bridgeton. That's Amazing Blaze, Highway 17, Bridgeton. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Rainer James.
Yes, sir.
You chair our State Legislative Action Committee, and you do a fine job of it.
Thank you.
What's going on statewide right now? Important legislation.
When this airs, it will already have happened, but the General Assembly, we're recording Wednesday night. The General Assembly is going back into session tomorrow,
right.
Thursday. Grassroots North Carolina is going to stage a protest against rhinos who were sitting on a bill that was sponsored by...
Michael Spicioli.
Yeah. Larry Pittman, mm-hmm. Michael Spicioli, Burr, Millis, Boswell, Brody, Clampett, Cleveland, Ford, Burt Jones, and Rogers. It is a omnibus gun changes bill, House Bill 746. It started life as a constitutional carry. It's no longer purely constitutional right. carry, but it does remove some of the infringements that have crept into law in North Carolina inappropriately.
Right.
I wish I could go to that camp. Got another commitment that's equally important. But the place that it's stuck is in the rules and operation of the Senate committee. It has passed the House. Now that committee, I looked up on the website, NCGA for General Assembly .state.nc.us has a wealth of information. If you click on committees and then look up the rules and operations of the Senate committee drop down arrow type thing, you will see that they have roughly just under 600 bills sitting in that committee. Committees are places that oftentimes bills go to die.
Right.
The members of the committee are listed there. If you hover over their name, it becomes a link. You click on it and it goes to a place where you can email the chairman of the committee and the members of the committee. I've started emailing committee members saying, please get this bill out, get it to the Senate floor for a vote. It needs to be voted on. The Grassroots North Carolina is making the point that Republicans, many, many, many of them, ran on conservative issues and freedom, gun freedom, essentially. Freedom for law-abiding citizens to carry guns and for self-defense and whatever
supporting
the need
Second
might be.
Amendment.
As provided
Second
for
Amendment.
In the Constitution,
yes.
Second Amendment.
So they are referring to it as an anti-rhino or Republican mm-hmm. name only march and a pro-Second Amendment sort of thing. And they're making the point that people who ran on one thing are behaving in a different way. Yet again, that needs to stop. People need to take note of who's behaving how.
Who are some of the leadership in that committee? I'd like to know who's blocking those things.
The chairman is Bill Rabin.
Well, they have a lot of power.
They do. And that would, if you don't write to anybody else, write or call Bill Rabin and ask him to please
well,
get that thing reported out.
As you mentioned, though, this has already come to pass by the time this is
no,
over. It'll
no.
still be in the committee.
The demonstration will have already happened, but the action
okay,
is
the
needed.
Okay, the bill's still, I get
so,
you.
Yeah,
right.
It's still there. So if we write and call, we can put our oar in after the fact
right.
of the demonstration.
So if you weren't able to attend the rally that's happening when did you say Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
This past Thursday, then at least you can still be active.
Yeah, and do it in addition to that, because it's going to take lots of nudges. They're going to need to feel like people are paying attention and want this to happen.
Right.
This is another example of how politicians can hide behind procedures, because as long as it stays in committee, no one goes on the record.
You got it.
You got it.
And, you know, we have somehow lost the concept of accountable politicians. That's almost an oxymoron right now.
And Mary, that's another reason for writing to the and calling the mm-hmm. members of this committee. We need to let them know we know who they are. We know they're sitting on this. We want it out and voted on.
Right.
Yes.
That's changing rapidly. We're starting to hold people accountable more and more.
So if you go out and look up the bill number, the bill number will show you the committee mm-hmm. that is currently in, and if you look up that committee, it will show you all of the members of that committee.
Yes, and that's one way to get to it. I knew it was in the Rules and Operations of the Senate Committee because I'd looked it up previously, so I went straight to that committee. All of the bills that are in that committee are listed, and as I said, there are about 600 of them. But that one's there. It's on about the fifth or sixth line
down. What is the bill number again?
746. Okay. And it's House, even though it's in the Senate, it's House Bill 746. Okay.
But again, for anyone who would like to help by doing an email or calling something like that.
Bill Rabin would be the email address for each of them is their first name, BILL.Rabin, @NCLEG for short for legislation, .net.
Right.
So,
but
if you go to the ncga.state.nc.us website and go to the committee, you can go when you hover over their name, that click on it. It takes you to a page that has their office phone number, their email, you know, a live email link. So you could pick and choose.
Right.
You could call, you could email, you could do whatever.
The one thing that I would like to encourage is I would like to encourage the listeners participate in government.
Yes, sir.
Get on their backs.
Okay, yes. Rainer, will you post that on our website tomorrow, the link to the site you just read the URL?
Absolutely.
And once more, just so our listeners will know who the conservatives are that are pro-Second Amendment that sponsored this bill, would you read the sponsors again?
Surely. It's Chris Millis, Larry Pittman, I can't think of his first name. Okay. Michael Spicelli, Beverly Boswell, Mark Brody, Clampett, I can't think of his first name, George Cleveland, Ford, I'm not sure of his first name, Burt Jones, and Rogers.
Right. So, well, they can find that information.
If we post the General Assembly website and they go to that Rules and Operations of the Senate, they'll all be listed there.
Right.
Wait a minute, that's the wrong thing. If they put the bill number in, they will go to a place where they can do the same thing, hover over the names of the sponsors and go to the page with all that sponsors information.
Burr's first name is Justin, but...
All right. Okay, well, let's move on. What else is going on in state issues?
Well, this is just an observation, and it has to do with something local that's happened very recently. And it's going to get a little bit convoluted, but I wrote an article for the CCTA page in the County Compass that was negative about a local Board of Commissioners member who says that he is conservative, that he wants to reduce the size of government. He is running for another office. He's already announced.
Let me stop you right there just a second.
Sure.
I'm going to disagree with you on being negative, because I know the article you're referring to, and it's not being negative. It's holding him accountable
for
what he promised to do versus his voting record.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so
that's not negative. That's a positive thing.
Thank you. I appreciate that correction. I cited several instances that showed that he was doing exactly that. I got an email from the mayor of a town nearby who objected and said that I was in error. So I wrote him back and said, if there was an error in the article, please tell me what it is. He wrote back and said he was not going to do my research for me. That was up to me. I should have done it. So I wrote back to him again and said, well, I did do my research and I don't know of any error. But my point was, this is a person with whom I have been on a first name basis for 8-9 years. He referred to himself as Mayor, blah, blah, blah. I remember a time when Barbara Boxer was in a hearing, Senator Barbara Boxer, someone referred to her as ma'am, and she went ballistic.
It was a general officer.
Yeah, it was general, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was Senator Barbara Boxer. Mm-hmm. Okay, our Constitution says that the U.S. government will not issue titles of nobility. The state governments will not issue titles of nobility. That's in the first article of the Constitution, section 9 and 10. What I firmly believe is happening nationally and locally as a small town mayor, is that politicians who do not have a servant's attitude are using the titles of their office as a title of nobility to show that they are superior to the people that they're supposed to be serving. I find that very, very unfortunate. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, it's obvious that you found that offensive.
But weren't...
And we won't mention Chuck's name either.
But weren't the found... I mean, if you go back and look at history, the founding fathers saw themselves as servants performing a public service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't seek fame. They didn't see, there was no money to seek at that point.
Nobody was lining their pockets because they'd been elected.
No, they were there to serve for
and
a
they
purpose.
Were there to serve temporarily and then go back and live under the laws that they made.
Amen. Yes.
And we've lost that.
Right. Now they exempt themselves from the laws that they've made.
Yeah. And I doubt that any of them got an advanced degree in political management.
Right. No, you mean any of the founding fathers?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
No, that's having such a degree is a real screw-up.
Time is rapidly getting away from us, and we got some other stuff to cover, so let's move on to the Raise Act. Rainer, you wanted to speak on that, I believe.
Well, yeah. I think it is the most common sense thing that has happened in a long time.
Can you explain what RAISE Act is first for our listeners that aren't familiar with that terminology?
It is a proposal, and Hal, you know what the acronym is.
It stands for the Reforming American Immigration for Strong Employment Act. And before Rainer says that, I'd like to mention we had a member...
Reforming American Immigration for a strong Economy Act.
Employment is where I read it.
Oh, I've got it on the Hill.
Yeah, maybe they don't know what it means. Okay, so we know basically what it means. But I want to mention Mary Delaney, who was a member of ours, who was very passionate. She had worked for the government for a number of years and very passionate on this issue. Her father was an immigrant from Ireland, and so she knew firsthand about some of the what immigrants needed to go through. And as I say, she was very passionate about it. She worked very hard for CCTA to stop this, what we call chain immigration. In other words, a family member comes over and then they could bring their, I don't know how far it went, cousins, nephews, any basically family member.
Right.
And that's what
basically
she...
basically just wide open board.
Right, and she was very strongly against it. She died in June of last year. And I think if this goes through, she'd be smiling down from heaven over it.
Right.
She really was passionate.
Well, if I remember correctly, there's basically three major tenets of it. What are those?
And, well, let me first say that it affects green card holders, people who are working in the U.S. permanently and can have a fast track to citizenship.
Okay.
And there will be allowed in under green card privileges on a point-based system that gives points for being able to speak English already, mm-hmm. for having a skill, and being able to support their family. And that chain migration deal is the person themselves, their spouse, and minor children. It does not involve automatic entry for the aunts, uncles, cousins, grandfathers, whatever.
Another thing that the liberals are really upset over is it would also limit the amount of support they could get from the government. In other words, they would not be able to get welfare strictly when they first come in because they had committed that they could make a living for themselves.
Right. Yeah, I think and it's 5 years.
Right? Part of the right. point is that it will not put pressure, downward pressure on wages. It would tend to put upward pressure on wages. What's happening now is that the latest immigrants to come in will work the cheapest. So they're bumping the low-paid Americans and even the low-paid previous immigrants who'd worked themselves up a little bit. Mm. So instead of dragging down, it is an upwardly mobile situation.
Right. And I think it requires speaking English. That they must. And what was the other one?
They have to have a skill. And right. be able to show that they can support themselves.
In other words, they won't come in and go automatically on permanent welfare for
exactly.
the rest
no,
of their life.
That's
they have to contribute to society like they did before, back in the old days. Mm-hmm. They were screened at Ellis Island for those very things, and they had to be able to support themselves, and they had to be medically fit and not carrying the disease, or they were sent back. All right, we've got to take another break, hear from our sponsors, and we'll continue when we come back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, deviled crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Imagine your country decides to revolutionize itself and is greeted with worldwide praise and adulation for its new leader. What would you do when, under a generation later, infrastructure is crumbling and they are now on the verge of confiscating your family's farmlands that have fed the country for hundreds of years? This isn't some dystopian prediction. This is reality for Simon Roche. Come hear him speak Tuesday, August 15th at 7 p.m. in downtown New Bern at the Stanley Hall Ballroom, sponsored by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. More information online.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home-long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, I'm going to move on to some national issues here. Here's a big one. Mike Huckabee tweeted out, it's time to repeal the 17th Amendment. He's not the only one. Alan West, he also tweeted out, you know, he said, if you sit and read the entire Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, and the Constitution, you'll come to realize how truly brilliant the Founding Fathers were. Today we have an academic elite that sees them only through the lens of identity politics. Often they perceive them as old slave-owning white men.
Yeah.
But when you lucidly examine what they did, you'll see, as Benjamin Franklin said, they gave us a republic if we could keep it.
Ma'am.
They gave us a governing structure, not just focused on the near term, but could truly last forever. But sadly, we lack the intellectual regimen in our current system of indoctrination, not education, to objectively study these fundamental ideas, principles, and values. We used to call it civics, but now via revisionist history, the progressive socialist left, as Barack Obama stated, is all about fundamentally transforming our nation. And man, did they do a job of that.
Alan West is a
smart man. He is. He's
right. If anybody's
read all the Federalist Papers, my hat's off to him.
No, right. I think our early voting laws were designed, I think, in their minds that they gave us a new republic and they gave us ideals that we were supposed to stand for. And they only wanted those to vote that were intellectually enough or informed enough to be able to preserve that republic. They didn't want, you know, the savants. They didn't want, you know, the uninformed to be able to vote if they had no skin in the game or if they weren't informed, because that would put the longevity of the republic at peril. Well,
that was why originally you had to be a property owner to vote, because if you didn't own property, you didn't have any skin in the game.
Well, in this particular instance, the 17th Amendment has to do with how senators are elected.
Right. I was going to get Diane to read us the 17th Amendment so our listeners would understand exactly what we're talking about. Diane, what was the 17th Amendment?
The 17th Amendment was passed in 1913. It reads, "The Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state, elected by the people thereof, for 6 years, and each senator shall have one vote. The electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislatures. When vacancies happen in the representation of any state in the Senate, the executive authority of such state shall issue writs of election to fill such vacancies, provided that the legislature of any state may empower the executive thereof to make temporary appointments until the people fill the vacancies by election as the legislature may direct." "The amendment shall not be so construed as to affect the election or term of any senator chosen before it becomes valid as part of the Constitution."
All right. Now, 1913 is also known as the first progressive year of the United States. The 17th Amendment wasn't the only progressive act in that year.
Federal income tax came in.
Income tax, which changed everything. That was the 16th Amendment, and it created the personal income tax, an individual tax on production, on our labor. Before that, taxation was focused on consumption. Even still, the individual income tax was to have been temporary, and the rates and levels are not to be increased. Well, how many things that Congress passes or gets done are temporary. And look at the Obamacare thing. The majority of the people in this country, and this is not a CNN poll, okay? The majority of the people are opposed to Obamacare.
Hate,
don't
loathe,
want it.
And despise.
They elected a president to go in there and repeal it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Based on the fact that all these Republican congressmen had promised for 7 years that that's what they would do if you just send them back up there. And if they had the White House, the House, and the Senate, they'd get it done.
And they've got all three.
And they didn't get it done.
Well, that's why I tweeted the House of Representatives, or the Congress, has ceased to be a legislative body for the people.
You're right. You're right. They have. They're self-serving now.
Yep.
But this Amendment 17, I think, was a terrible mistake, because it really diminished the power of the state.
Right.
That the state used to appoint the senators. And then the state could then recall a senator.
The state legislature.
Right. Well, we don't have time to get into that this week because we're out of time. But next week we're going to dive headlong into this and talk about it. I've got another one here that I wanted to read. We don't have time to get to it. And that's the racist history behind the repeal of the 17th Amendment movement.
Oh, my.
What?
Well, that's
a stretch.
That's put out by our progressive opponents here, and we'll get into that next week. That's all the time we've got, so thank you for tuning in. Please come back and join us next week, and we'll thoroughly discuss the 17th Amendment and the attempts to repeal that.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
There's something for everyone at Stingray Cafe in New Bern. For the seafood lover, there are oysters, shrimp, scallops, clams, crabs, snow crab legs, and a wide variety of fish. Not in the mood for seafood? How about a salad, a burger, beef brisket, or some good old hickory smoked barbecue? There's even a menu section for folks 10 and younger. Open 7 days a week to Stingray Cafe on South Front Street in New Bern, just across the street from the History Center.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Need floor covering but don't know where to turn? McDowell Floor Coverings in Havelock has everything you need. Friendly people to help with options so you get the look you want at a price you can afford. A large inventory, quick delivery on special orders, quality products, and 80 years of combined installation experience. All at McDowell Floor Coverings, 273 Highway 70 West, Havelock. Two things to ask about: the spring into summer sale and how you might win a $500 gift card. McDowell Floor Coverings, Highway 70 West, Havelock.
The CCTA appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Stingray Cafe, South Front Street, New Bern, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55, Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Manette's Grocery, Force 5 Marine Saltwater Corrosion Inhibitor, Oriental Dragon Boat Races, and Amazing Blaze, Highway 17, Bridgeton. Join us again next week at this time for your wake-up call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, online at cctaxpayers.com.